Welcome back to week two of our stewardship series called His, the Entrusted Life. Last week we discovered that we belong to Jesus. All of us belong to Him. Some of us more in a general sense in that He's our Creator, and because He's our Creator, we belong to Him. But many of you in a more specific sense in that you have surrendered your life to His Lordship over you. You've accepted His forgiveness and the grace that He offers, the grace that we have just sung about. And so, but we all belong to Him. Some of us maybe realize it and some of us don't, but all of us do. And everything else that we're going to talk about in this series, and really everything else in your entire life, flows from the fact that you belong to Jesus. Today, we're going to be talking about time. Now, who all feels like on a regular basis they're busy? Right, see your hands. You're pretty busy? Most people think, I'm busy. I've got things to do. I even talk to some retired people. They're just busy all the time. There's just too much to do. I wish I could do what I wanted to do. A recent survey said that 62% of people said they have zero time to do anything that they want to do personally. That is, they're busy. Somehow in America, we have started wearing busyness as a badge of honor. Like the more we're busy, and when people come up and say, hey, how you doing? We don't even say, fine, how are you anymore? We're just like, busy. I'm busy. Just don't bother me. I'm busy. I've got other things to do. I don't have time for you. I'm busy. And we don't say that, but that's really what we're thinking, right? And so we're just crazy busy. There's even books about just how to slow down, how not to be so busy. All of us, in some form or fashion, feel like we are busy or don't have enough time to do the things that we want to do. And this also happens when it comes to spiritual things. A lot of times we want to have more time to maybe spend with people, more time to study the Scripture, maybe more time to go to a gathering such as this or home group gatherings, more time to spend with family, things that we know that are important, more time to take a break, but we can't seem to find the time to do it. Now, I want all of you, maybe perhaps right now, just to kind of close your eyes, just close your eyes for a minute, and think about, it can be a celebrity, it can be a news person, whatever, just think about the busiest person, the person that accomplishes the most that you know of. It can be someone who's alive now or someone who was alive in the past, but someone who is extremely productive and accomplishes so much. Okay, you got that person in your mind? You know who you're thinking about? Shake your head. Yes, I do. Some of you don't. Okay, that's okay. Maybe watch the news or something like that. There are people who write like, you know, 5 and 6 books a year. They do television newscasts. They're in sports. They're doing all sorts of good humanitarian things. They're just like, how do they find time? And they have jobs. How do they find time to do that? Okay, you can open your eyes. Sorry, some of you are still sitting there with your eyes closed. Some maybe you're sleeping. I don't know. You're finding time for a nap right now in church is what I'm doing. So think about that. Well, here's the interesting thing. Take the most productive person you can think of. And there's something that you have in common with that person. The person who writes 5 and 6 books a year. The person who's super, uber accomplishing and productive and all that. The thing that you have in common with that person is that you have the exact same amount of time they do. All of us have the same time. All of us. There's not one single person in this world that has any more time than you. So it's not a question of how much time we have. It's really a question of how we spend the time that we do have. How we utilize the time that we have. And so that's what we're talking about today, is being stewards of our time and trying to understand a few principles about that. Is there a way that we can do the things that we need to do and lead the godly lives that God is calling us to live in the amount of time we have. Because I hear people say, I'd love to go on a mission trip, but I don't have time. I would love to start a ministry, but I do not have time. Well, I would like to spend more time with my family. I just don't have the time. I want to read the scriptures more. Boy, I wish, people say, I wish I just knew the scripture. Well, I can't share Jesus with anybody because I just don't know enough. Well, that's not an excuse. Like, all of us are capable of learning. All of us are capable of listening to others, even if we couldn't read or write. There's an ability to sit with others and to learn and to get what we need in order to share with others. It's there. And you can actually get the Bible on audio. You can download the Bible app from YouVersion and listen to it. I don't know how long that particular version takes, but I've heard that you can listen to the whole Bible in less than a week if you just sit down and start listening to it. And that may include bathroom breaks. I don't know. But the point is that we all have the same amount of time. And if you want more out of your life, especially your Christian life, if you want something you don't have and time is your reason, you can fix that. You can fix that. You can be as busy as anyone. And I'm not saying busyness is good. We're talking about productivity. And in this context, we're talking about this. It's the main point today. My time belongs to Jesus. You see, if I belong to Jesus, then it makes sense that my time would belong to Jesus. And a lot of times what we do is we think, well, you know, I'm a Christian, I pray, I go to church. You guys are going to church. Some of you may be believers or not, but in any event, you're spending time, you're counting this as time that you're giving to God. And we give God a slice of our pie. We give Jesus a slice of our time pie. We've got 24 hours a day. We've got 7 days a week. In some form or fashion, we give Him certain slices of that. We may pray before we eat. If you eat a lot, you might pray a lot. If you only eat a few times a day, you might only pray a little. But that's the slice of the pie that you give Him. You may pray in the mornings. You may pray in the evenings. The slice of the pie. We give Him a few hours on Sunday, maybe a few hours on Wednesdays. We give Him a slice of the pie and say, here, this is your time. Do with it what you want. However, we fail to realize that all of our time belongs to Jesus. Not just the slice of the pie that we carve out for Him, but every single minute, every single second of every day. And so the question for us would be, how would Jesus use your time? If Jesus were in your, if He took your spot, how would He navigate your day? How would He navigate your week? What would He do in the time that you have, in the circumstances you have, in the family you have, in the workplace that you have, in the career you have, in the hobbies you have? How would Jesus use your time? That is something that should be in our minds all the time. Because indeed, Jesus wants to use your time. Matter of fact, if you belong to Him in the more specific sense, you've actually called Him Lord. That's what it means to call Him Lord, is to say, my time is now your time. It is to say, how would you use my life? How would you use my time? That's the way that I'm going. That's what it means to call Him Lord. It doesn't mean we give Him a sliver over here and a sliver over there of our pie. A little bit of icing here, a little bit of cake there. All of it. All of it. And I'm convinced that Jesus wants us to have an abundant life. He says He wants us to have an abundant life. Now, a lot of people go automatically to jet skis and millions of dollars. That's not necessarily what that's talking about. Because jet skis and millions of dollars, although they may be nice, they will not bring you an abundant life. They may bring you problems and trouble, wrecks, drowning, lawsuits. You have no idea. And so abundant life is a life that is fulfilled in Him and with the relationships with the people you have around you. That's an abundant life. We've shared this before. No one lays on their deathbed and says, "Hey, man, I wish I just had one more jet ski. Or man, I wish I had another $1 million or another $1 billion." No one does that. It's always, "I want my family. I wish I'd spent more time with those that I love. I wish I'd served the Lord more, surrendered myself more. I wish I had more time." But it's gone. It's fleeting. So all of our time, all of your time belongs to Jesus, and you've given it to Him if you've accepted Him as your Christ, your Lord, His grace, His forgiveness. That exchange is, "Lord, You take my sinful life, that's Yours now. You take that, take care of that on the cross, and then You give me Your righteous life, and You live through me from now on." That's actually what that means. Now, we don't really have a great model or categories for that in our culture, because our culture just sucks every second that it can take from you. But that's what's going on. Jesus wants you to have an abundant life. I believe that the abundant life is right in front of most of us, except we don't see it because we don't have time. We're too busy being occupied with other things than to see what Christ has for us. Who He is, His love for us, His direction through the power of the Holy Spirit, who other people are that He brings into our path. You know, Jesus says this. He says, "The fields are white with harvest." They're there. We just don't see it. They're ready. We're talking about easy picking fruit, like low-hanging fruit. It's there. It's ripe. It's ready. We don't see it. The reason is because we are too busy. Our time is being spent on other things than what the Father says it should be spent on. It seems cliche. Maybe you've heard it. It is cliche, but it's kind of true. How do you spell love? T-I-M-E. Time. I can't tell someone I love them and never really spend any time with them. Now I can have some bit of an affection. I maybe care a little bit. But I can't truly love them. I can't know who they are. They can't know who I am. We can't work through difficulties we have. We can't truly know each other at the heart level unless we spend time together. That's what Christ has called us to do with one another, is to know each other in such an intimate way through the power of His Spirit that we forgive each other, that we help each other, we encourage one another, we lift one another up. Those sorts of things, how we spend our time. But truth is, barely have time for you. I barely have time for you. You barely have time for me. And then, you know, you throw on that all the things that are going on in our families and everyone's lives. It's kind of a chaotic world. What if, because we know this, okay? We know that Jesus wants us to love Him and love others, right? And I do believe, if you kind of believe that we spell love time, T-I-M-E, is that you can't love people properly unless you spend time with them. And God wants us to love Him, spend time with Him, and love others, spend time with Him. And He wants us to reach the fields that are white with harvest. What if one of the key traps of Satan, or the key weapons of Satan, is to keep you so busy, so tied up, so distracted, that you do not have the types of relationships with others that your heart truly desires. You do not have the relationship with Him that your heart truly desires, and you're incapable of seeing the fields that are white. It's Satan's distraction. We know that relationships are all that matters, right? We know that. Like, that's it. Now, we have to have some money and pay the gas bill and electric bill and have a cave to live in somewhere. We have to have that. Have to have clothes. Can't run around naked anymore. Adam messed that up. So we have to have some things, but what if Satan has taken the way that our world operates and made it such that it just sucks all the time that you would have for the important things away from you? That you're so distracted by this world, the things that we see, the things that we want to be involved in, the things that he holds up and says, these are the things that are important, that we miss what God says is really important. What the Father wants for us. What the Son, our brother, wants for us. What the Holy Spirit wants for us. Our first point today is that my time belongs to Jesus, so I should not waste it. I should not waste it. This is a warning. Do not use your time unwisely. Here's the verse in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Be very careful. Not just careful. Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because why? The days are evil. You have an enemy. He's an evil enemy. He's seeking to steal, kill, and destroy your life, to take the abundant life, to take the real relationships, to take the true desire, the inner true desire, the longing of your heart to know God, to know others, to be known and loved anyway. Satan's wanting to steal that. The days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There's a warning. My time belongs to Jesus, so I should not waste it. Be very careful. Very careful. What does that mean, very careful? Careful means to pay attention. There's could be danger lurking, right? There's something that's not quite right. There's something amiss near me. Be careful. And he says, be very careful. Why? Why should we do that? Because our time matters. How we spend our time, how you spend your time matters. Satan is trying to ruin your life, and he does that by occupying you into his things versus God's things. So how do we waste time? The command is to be wise with your time. How are you wasting it? I want to give some examples here, but I remember a few weeks ago, my older son said, well, don't be the old man that sits up there and says, hey, you can't use phones and TVs and stuff like that. And so I don't want to be the old man. I want to be the middle-aged man that does that. How much time do I waste? Me. You can figure out your own deal. How much time do I waste looking at my phone? How much time do I waste watching television? You know what yesterday was? What was the date yesterday? February 29th. That sounds weird, right? Why? It's a leap year. It's a leap day, right? Yesterday was a free day. We get that? It's a free day. No one's been accounting for it. Do anything you want, man. Free day. Free. What'd we do? Same old, same old. Same old, same old. How much time does it... And look, there's nothing wrong with watching TV. There's nothing wrong with getting away and recharging. There's nothing wrong with being entertained. Nothing wrong at all. There's nothing wrong with stealing away and taking a nap or resting. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the endless hours. The endless hours that we spend day in and day out, week in and week out, doing things that are really not wise. We know it's true. Yesterday started a season called Lent. I'll talk about that more a little bit later on. Lent is a 6-week period that starts on Ash Wednesday, and people generally abstain from something during that time, looking forward to the Easter celebrations, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Maybe we should give something up. So I ain't giving anything up. Forget that. Well, that tells me I got a problem. It's like, how do we spend our time? Video games? I think about this with the younger people. Here's the deal, younger people. Video games are fun. I've got them. My kids have them. I mean, like, I don't play them because they're over my head now. But I bought them. My kids have video games. We have some consoles, a big cool TV to play them. They have their gadgets they play their games on for hours and hours a day. In a few years, my kids are going to be gone. My youngest will be gone in 6 years. The truth is, once they start driving, they're gone. It's not when they're 18. It's when they're 16 and a half or 17. That's when they're really gone. And they're going to go off and they're going to live their lives. Okay? Young people, that's you. You're going to go off and you're going to live your lives, and we hope you live godly, productive lives. But you're spending the only time that you have with your parents stuck in a room playing a game. The people that you're going to want to know, the people that when you get 30 years old, you're going to say, hey, well, my dad didn't really invest in me. Or my mom, I barely knew her, but we had some issues. This is the time that you build those relationships. Also, young people, listen to this. I know songs. Right? I can't tell you what I did yesterday on Leap Day. I know songs. I remembered songs my whole life when I was little. Like I've never been little. I came out of the womb big. But younger. Younger is the word. You remember what goes in your head right now. You remember what goes in your head right now. And you will remember it for the rest of your life. This is the time where you're being able to input, to program your computer. And it is being programmed. And I'm not saying, hey, you know, because you use a shooting game and you shoot people up that you're going to be a murderer. Lord, I hope not. I hope that's not the case, because if so, there's going to be a lot of murderers because everybody's playing shoot-up games. But this is what I'm saying. You're programming your mind with unwise things. And even if there's a neutral there, you're using the best time of your life on things that are not productive and will not enhance the abundance of your life for the future. And the same's true with older people. Older being not younger people. And that is, even though we can't remember like we used to, that we're not being programmed because our programming has mostly turned off, even though that's the case, we're still spending our time in unwise ways seeking something that would satisfy, seeking some entertainment, seeking some escape, seeking some relationship, some sort of fulfillment that only Christ can fulfill. It doesn't matter whether it's TV, it doesn't matter whether it's phones, whatever it is. Used to, you would go into a store and there's a counter and there was people, like I'm thinking of Lowe's in my mind back in the old days. I hear they're getting ready to go back to the same style. But anyhow, you would go up and there were people at a counter and you would say and you would ask them a question, right? And then the phone would start ringing, remember? And you're asking them a question and the phone would ring. They may say, wait a second, pick up the phone, put it on hold. And then they would deal with you while the person's on hold. Now nobody does that. It's so much... Yeah, hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's something important going on over here, but I'd rather talk to you, so I'm just going to kind of... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, all right. Love you. Talk to you later. Bye. All right, where were we? We don't give people the attention. We don't give anyone our attention. We want everyone's, we want input, but we don't give any. We have programmed our entire lives to want, but never to give. To give people our attention. I got to thinking, okay, well, what if it's my kid calling? So what if it's my kid? Who cares? Leave a message, text, and tell me when you see me. What if it's an emergency? I can't do anything about emergencies. I really can't. How many of you older people grew up without cell phones? You made it. Don't waste time. That's all we're talking about. And we waste time on other stuff too, not just gadgets. Worry. We waste our time pursuing materialism, pursuing things. We spend our whole life to amass money to spend on stuff that's going to rot like we do. We're wasting our time. How much do we need? Some people say, well, I'll just pray that I'll get this job. Where's the job? Well, you know, it's down in E-Town. So you're going to spend an hour and a half on the road every day? Yeah, it's 3 hours. And then you're going to work 8 hours? Yeah, that's 11 hours. Well, plus there's lunchtime, so now there's 12 hours a day you're gone from your family. Do you really need it? Would it be nice? Yeah, do you really need it? Well, okay, I got this new job promotion, takes me out of church. Never go to church again in my life. Second point, my time belongs to Jesus, so I should invest it wisely. So the first point is kind of negative. Don't do stupid stuff with your time. The second point is a little bit better. Invest it wisely. This is a call to priority. There's a choice here. We can do wise things or unwise things, making intentional choices with the use of our time. To invest it wisely. Think about this. How many of you all like getting the leftovers of anything? Like, would you rather have something new or leftovers? Leftovers is up. Okay, now if you like something new, put your hand up. All right, put your hand down. You like the best? Raise your hand. You want the best? All right, put your hand down. Do you like the worst? Anybody want the worst? Okay, I got one over here that likes the worst. All right, you're lucky it's not near Christmas. Okay, so oftentimes we don't invest our time wisely. We spend it foolishly. And when I'm talking about investing our time, I'm talking about giving our best. We're talking about stewardship to God. Not just how to live our lives in a self-help manner. We're talking about how I belong to Jesus and my time belongs to Jesus. And so how is it then that I'm going to use the remaining breath, the remaining seconds that He gives me? How am I going to use that? Am I going to invest it wisely? Or am I going to give God the leftovers? And so many times I fill my day with Tony stuff. With stuff for me. With stuff for my family. With me, mine. Me, mine. And God, well, you know, if I have time, God, You can get. If I have some time, I'll study the Scripture. If I have time, I'll pray for somebody. If I have time, I'll start that ministry. If I have time, I'll sign up for that thing at church. If I have time, I will, you know, help clean the church. We have people helping clean the church now. Please sign up for that. If you have time, you'll do it. You're never going to have time. You're never going to have time. Someone told us once when we were young and trying to have kids, and like, we're going to wait until we can afford kids to have them. They horse laughed us and said, if you can wait till you can afford them, you're never going to have them. And they're right, because you'll never afford kids. And if you wait until you have the time to do what God's calling you to do, you're never going to do it, because you're never going to have the time. All the time belongs to Him. Ephesians 4:1, Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, he's a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Every single person, if you're a believer, You have a calling of God upon your life, and that is to let Jesus Christ live through you. You are a conduit. You're a portal. You know what portals are in these space movies where like aliens come through? You are a portal for Jesus Christ in this world. Jesus Christ working through you in the power of His Spirit. That's how you invest your time. That's what He says. Live a life worthy of your calling. Don't waste your days on endless things, but rather invest your time in things that are actually going to matter for eternity. Let Christ work through you. Most believers today, and I think this is more of a Western culture and places that America has taken Christianity. Christianity is all about me. It's all about incoming. It's all about blessing me, feeding me, making me happy, making me feel fulfilled. Me, me, me. It's all about us. I mean, not me, not you, not us collectively. It should be about us. It should be about us, the world. But it's about me. And so we personalize everything. But you have a calling, and your calling is to take Jesus Christ to the world. To not be the bucket, but to be the conduit through which Christ flows. Most of us want to be a bucket. How many of us want to be a bucket? We're buckets. Anybody like that? That's horrible. Bucket. Nobody wants to be a bucket. A beautiful vase. Still, yeah. It's a container that holds and holds and holds, but Christ doesn't call us to be a container that holds. He calls us to be a conduit through which He flows. Many of you have heard this analogy before, but they talk about over in Israel, you've got the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is teeming with life. There's tons of fish and creatures in the Sea of Galilee. It's beautiful. And the water, the tributaries off the mountains just feed into that. And then the Jordan River flows out of that. And there's full of life. And there's input and there's output into the Sea of Galilee. But then it flows all the way down to something called what? The Dead Sea. You know what's going on in the Dead Sea? There's no outlet. There's no way for the water to escape. It's dead. And it's full of stuff. Nothing can live in it. Nothing can live in it. It's so full of minerals and there's no escaping it. And it's dead. Same with us. When Christ is flowing through us, there's life. There's purpose. There's fulfillment. There's abundance. But when it's just about me and helping me, yes, it's going to help me as He flows through me. But so many of us has just made it about us. The half-brother of Jesus, James, says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money." He says in verse 14, "Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." A mist. Everybody know what vaping is? Yeah, vaping. This was last year. I was in Shelbyville, and I thought it was Cheech and Chong. I mean, you younger people won't know what I'm talking about, but it looked like they had a campfire and they were burning wet leaves in this car. There was so much smoke. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what? I thought the car was on fire. I was about to throw it in park and go pull somebody out to save their life. Two young people in there vaping, and it'll kill you, so don't do it. But they're in there vaping, and the whole car's full of smoke, and it's rolling out the windows. And then by the time the light turned green, it was gone. It was gone. That's our lives. That's our time here on this earth. God has eternity stored up for us. Our time here is to use for Him, helping Him with His project of redemption, redeeming humanity. Stephen Covey said, "The key is not spending time, but in investing it." Investing it. Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It is a death to self, a life to Christ. He lives through us. Don't you think the world would be a better place if, there's 150 people here, if 150 people carried Jesus to the world, you think the world would be a much better place? That's the call. That's our opportunity. That's how we invest time. We invest in other people, sharing our lives and the love that Christ has given us with them. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, this is before Christ, to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, wasting time, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on a new self. A new self. Well, what's this new self look like? Oh, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Your new self in Christ is created to be like God in righteousness and holiness so that we can then go out and share God with the world. Share the love of the Father, the love of the Son, the power of the Spirit with the people we come in contact with. The new self is like Jesus. It starts with the mind and the heart, but eventually it changes the way we use our time. I remember it was one of the strangest things that occurred to me, my previous church. A family decided that they would not move and take a job opportunity in a different state because God was using them in that church. So, no, we're going to forego that because we see God working through us right here. We're able to invest in others here. And they felt like God was certainly not calling them away from that. The third point is that my time belongs to Jesus, so I should seize every opportunity. There's a method here. He says, make the most of every opportunity. Every opportunity. You know how many opportunities every opportunity is? All of them. I blew an opportunity this week. It was Monday. I had some guys come out and run a gas line at our house. And there was three guys there, and I got to spend 2.5 hours with them. And I blew it. I was nice. I offered them something to drink 2 or 3 times. I stayed and I chatted up with them and talked with them, standing in the rain and in the mud. But I never told one of them about my hope in Christ. I never in any way hinted towards Christ or how they could know Him. And he says, here's how you invest in time. Here's how you use your time wisely. You make the most of every opportunity. I didn't take time to get to know these guys and ask them how their life was. You know, I might have asked one of those guys how their life was, and they could have shared with me something that was going on, and it may have given me an opportunity to share witness of what Christ has done in my life in a similar way. But I didn't take the time to invest in them. I wanted them to do their job and leave because I had something else to do with my time. But this was God's time. He put me in proximity of three people. I didn't even want to get the chance to know them. Maybe if I had talked to them, asked them how they were, asked them about their families, asked them about their life, their work, their upbringing, a door might have opened. But I didn't. That's why he says, make the most of every opportunity. The fields are white with harvest. There are opportunities everywhere. We're just too busy to get to know people, to love them, to spend time with them. This is actually to seize every opportunity is actually about stopping my plans to encounter Jesus and the people and the circumstances of the day. It's about His plan. If I don't allow time in my life to interact with people, then how can I love people? Right? If we don't put space in our schedule to hang out and get to know folks, we will never get to know folks. We will never get to show them any love or compassion. Colossians 4, 5 through 6 says, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity." Again, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." It's live a life full-time for Jesus. You know how you work full-time, but then you're off, right? You're off and you go home, and I'm off, and you maybe have the weekend. Or like Sunday afternoons is like the only time like I feel off. Because Monday you start thinking, okay, Sunday's coming, how's this going to work? And you start working, it's Sunday afternoon, I'm off. Woo! Don't have to worry about anything for a few hours. We approach our Christianity the same way, many of us. We approach following Christ in a similar way. We have these times that we live part-time for Jesus, but He says we're all in, we're full-time for Him. And then everything that we do, whether I'm going to work, whether I'm having a gas line run at the house, whether I'm mowing my yard, whether I'm here, whether I'm somewhere at a ball field, wherever it happens to be, I'm living for Christ in that moment where I am. That's making the most of the time and every opportunity. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, says this: "We shall love the Father as Jesus does, and the Holy Ghost," which would be the Holy Spirit, "will arise in us." When we love the Father the same way Jesus does, the Holy Spirit will arise in us. It says, "He came to this world and became a man in order to spread to other men the kind of life He has." Jesus came to this world in order to spread to other people the kind of life that Jesus had, showing us how to love the Father. That's what He's saying. He says, "By what I call good infection." Good infection. You know, people coughing, like this morning I was coughing and I covered my mouth, so whoever was in front of me, don't worry, I wasn't like coughing over your shoulder without my mouth. I was covered. But like, this is a good infection. Like, infect people good. We've got this coronavirus rolling around. Everybody's afraid. The markets are plummeting. That's kind of the way we should be spreading, but in a good way. In a good way. That is, we infect others with the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, and then they catch it, and they infect the others around them. And then those people catch it, and they infect. That's what He's saying here. That's the reason He came. Every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. It doesn't mean we actually become gods like the Mormons would teach, but we become carriers of Christ, that He works through us everywhere we go. Everywhere. If I cannot do what I'm doing for Jesus with thanksgiving and investing in others, I should probably stop doing it. That's kind of the deal. If I don't have time for Jesus, then He's probably not my Lord. If I don't have time to do the things He calls me to do and live worthy to the calling that He's given me because I'm His, then I've got some stuff in my life that don't belong. Or somehow I need to let Him redeem those areas of my life. We're to be stewards of the time He gives us. Some of us may not be here next week. Do we know that? Someone could die this week. Several could. We don't know. Our life is but a vapor, a mist. It's gone in a moment. To use it as a good steward unto God, to give Him our time. The remainder of your days, let Christ live through through you. My time, fourthly, my time belongs to Jesus, so I should use it as He would. Goes back to the first question. How would Jesus use your time? Use your time the way Jesus would. Remember the movement that went around, WWJD, what would Jesus do? It became a fad and everybody was asking it. That's a pretty good question. What would He do? How would He use your day? How would He use your relationships? How would He use... I'm not talking about how the church would use or something. I mean, like, surely, read in the Scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, find out how Jesus behaved, how He acted, how He dealt with people, how He dealt with His time. He took time away. He went to parties. He hung out with His buddies. But He changed the world. That's what He's calling us to do. The remainder of our days. Why? Because the days are evil. And there's people whose lives desperately need Jesus. There's people who desperately need Him. Because they've been tricked just like we were tricked. They've believed a lie. And God has sent us to give them the truth and share with them His love and what that truth looks like. 2 Corinthians 5:20. This is the way it's put. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. That's our message. We're His ambassadors. We are outposts of heaven. This, where we are, and to get anywhere we gather, not this room. This room is a room. Where you are, you gather in a home group, you gather in a Sunday school class, you gather at the gym, wherever you are an outpost of heaven. You're an outpost of the love and grace of Christ. And unfortunately, in our world, Christians are not seen as an outpost of heaven, of grace, of love, of forgiveness, of mercy, of reconciliation. We're seen as people who are condemning. People who only have ourselves and our own personal interest at heart. That's why it's important to follow Christ's example. He is our model for everything. Many of us want to use our time like we donate to Goodwill. I kind of mentioned this earlier. We'll give the leftovers. Occasionally, I don't know if they do it on purpose or not, but I'm so thankful if it's you, I'm still in the 1X, 2X size, but somebody buys new stuff and takes it with the tags on it to Goodwill. And I get something good for cheap. And it's awesome, right? I don't know if they're just buying it or their wives are buying it and they don't like it or I don't know how it's going down, but like, do you ever just buy something new and take it to the Agape shop or to Goodwill or donate it to somebody? Sometimes we do. But normally we give our leftovers. We give our leftovers. God doesn't want your leftovers. He wants your all. All of you. Every moment of every day. All your best. Not your best clothes. Clothes don't matter. Clothes do not matter. What matters is you. Does He have you? Does He have your heart? Does He have your time? Psalm 90:12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Every day you're given 24 hours. Every day. The same 24 hours that anyone else in this world gets. How are you going to use them for your Lord? Maybe. I know it's not Ash Wednesday. It's the Sunday after Ash Wednesday. Fish sandwiches are on sale again. It's good. Maybe today you could say, you know, I'm going to take 1 hour a day and I'm going to turn off my phone. 1 hour a day, I'm going to turn off my phone I'm going to tell my kids, hey, between 4 and 5, if you try to call me, you better, if it's an emergency, call 911. Because that's what I would do anyway, right? So, I'm not going to be available. Maybe we take that. Maybe we say, no, we're not doing any electronics. Or however it is, whatever it is that's sucking away your time. Maybe it's social media. So an hour a day. And during that hour a day, maybe you're going to walk across the street. Maybe you're going to turn off the TV, walk across the street and meet your neighbor. Maybe you're going to put your phone down at lunch and talk to that coworker who's sitting at the other end of the table in the break room. Maybe you're here and you're like, well, I don't read the Scriptures. I need to read the Scriptures, but I just don't have time. Okay. Maybe what you do is you turn the TV off 30 minutes earlier at night, set your alarm clock 30 minutes earlier in the morning, and read the Scriptures and pray. But there's something every single one of us to do to start changing our focus in how we use our time. Maybe you do a lot of really good things. Maybe you're involved in ministry. Maybe you go help people. Maybe you just do good things. Maybe you should do them not alone. Take someone with you. Invest in those relationships. I've heard it said that Christian ministers should never do anything alone. Because when you do it with someone else, you're making disciples. Whatever it is, God wants our time because it belongs to Him. If God's moving in your heart, asking you to make a commitment, I'll say, hey, let's make a commitment. Try to give 1 hour a week, or 1 hour a day. Just give 1 hour a day until Easter. Until Easter. Maybe it's your phone, maybe it's TV, something else. 1 hour a day. Giving it completely, totally to God, asking His Spirit what He wants you to do, and living in that. And let's see how God moves by Easter in this place, in this county, in your neighborhood, in your family. Let's pray. Father God, today as we bow before You, Lord, we just give You, ourselves, our time, Lord. It's not ours, it's Yours. It belongs to You. You're our Lord. And so, Father, I just ask You right now, Lord, that You would convict every one of us. Lord, and then when we get defensive and we're like, I'm not going to do that, Lord, that proves we need to. That proves there's a stronghold in our heart, Lord, a stronghold in our lives that's causing us, dear Lord, to miss what You have for us. To miss the abundance that You promised. To miss the relationships. To miss the fields that are white with harvest. To miss, Lord, being loved and loving others. I pray right now, Lord, every single one of us, our own heart, would commit to You to give You our time.